In the July 18th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting at 6:30 PM. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Changes to the agenda, Terry?
No, there are none.
I have a couple of questions about some of the information in here I would like to discuss with the Planning Commission before we move forward, and then if possible, could we do number five ahead of number four? Does that matter?
I think we have, because we've got to, I think we need to do them in the order. Because Roland Meadows, the modification needs to be discussed before we can move on to the minor partition.
Certainly the hearing before the, on that issue.
Okay, I'm just afraid we might not get there. Thank you, okay.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, sir.
I have a potential conflict of interest on Rolling Meadows Phase One. My son and daughter-in-law purchased a house in there for her parents.
Okay.
I have no financial interest in it. I didn't know about it. I wasn't aware of it till I heard 2 days ago. But it is family, and this is Phase One. So I withdraw my participation in this discussion for Phase One.
All right, I appreciate your input, even if you choose not to vote on any resolutions. So, thank you. Anyone else? No? So I have a question. On the first packet here.
Should we do the public comment?
I don't know, I'm sorry, we can do that first. Is there any public comment for items not already on the agenda? Guy in the back? No? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much. Okay, so I would like to discuss this with you and the Planning Commission. I have some questions about the maps that we're basing our decisions on. So the map that came in this month's packet does not match the map we were using in last month's packet. The lot numbers are different. The phases are marked differently. The last one was marked September 2020 in the teeny weeny print that none of us old people can read. And this one is marked October 2018. In this packet, so
2020 is the one that was adopted with the master plan.
Okay, so the one we're using then is from 2018, and it's different, and it's
so we've got the ones up here.
So what's that? I will go make copies for everybody of the one.
Okay.
Should have been in your file.
Thank you.
You guys don't think I pay attention.
I didn't want to say anything.
Sometimes, buddy.
Yeah, because this says 2023, but it is different.
Yes.
I'm not sure about the procedure. Is there any point in here when I can just ask a general question?
Right now we're just discussing something with the Planning Commission, but yes, you'll have an opportunity
to do that.
I'll give you a chance, I promise.
Okay.
I'd like to hear what you have to say. But first we have to solve this ritual.
Not quite shredded, but pretty close.
Here, you look like you dressed for warm weather.
I'm just hoping.
Hoping? I think you're gonna get your wish.
That's cooled off the last few days.
Trying to sympathize with my dog.
Well, she's fast.
Got a good machine. Did a lot of little work. Thank you.
That was very quick, thank you. So this one still says September 2020. Is it the, it is accurate?
This is the correct, this is the map that was adopted. I apologize for having the wrong one in the packet.
So that confuses a little where she's here.
Yes. Yes.
I might have missed this. Didn't they tell us there was gonna be no parks in this sign, that the one park they have is gonna be private?
Oh, no, they have several parks.
Yeah, it says park. Park.
Some of them are already.
Yeah, I've already been to this one. It just has a swing set and it's, it's very nice. I think it was done well.
What they're doing is they're making them put the parks in before they build homes.
Yeah, we had to wait 12 years.
Kind of makes no sense now. I thought carefully about the lots we were considering splitting based on this other map. And so now I can't find the numbers from one to the other. I didn't catch it until after I read it for 2 days. And I picked one up and I thought, oh, this isn't right. So, anybody have any questions about the difference in the map, or do you want a couple minutes to?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Okay, on phase one, we're dealing with here proper, right? Those are 50-foot fronts on these lots?
Currently, they're 70, yeah, they want to split them in half.
They're 78-134.
So the, so we don't have, the second map in this packet showed them split, but that wouldn't be correct either now. So we don't have. What is the date on this map?
I think that's the proposed one that they want, what it would look like on 34.
Okay, is it the correct date or is it like this one here?
It is.
Doesn't match this one.
It's 5/15/23, May 15, 2023, I think.
But that
That doesn't match the one we just got either.
So what is it?
The 523 is the wrong map, correct?
The 523 is the proposed.
Yeah.
So it's showing.
So this one's what it was, what we got previously.
One we got previously, none of these numbers.
One you gave us.
So they renumbered the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, they must have had to renumber the whole thing if they added twice as many. Let's see, one, two, three, four, six. Yeah, so they doubled them.
Right, but see, none of the numbers.
See, for match up now.
None of the numbers transfer now from one page to the other.
Are you looking at lot numbers?
Well, yeah, because I was trying to figure out, we had agreed initially to allow eight lots to be divided, and I was trying to figure out where those eight lots would be on the new map. And I have too many maps, so they're not here anymore.
Okay, they are.
I can't be the only one.
Right here.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And they're identified in the staff reports.
Okay, so.
Oh, they still have the same name.
So the lots that are proposed for, in the, sorry, let me back up. The lots that are in the minor partition applications, those eight minor partition applications that are in the packets, are lots 1, 2, 23, 24, 25, 26, 47, and 48. They're part of phase one.
So that's item five.
All right.
Listed right here, right.
Yeah, those.
And see, that was my other question with this map. This is, this one's marked phase one. This is marked phase six.
Well, phase one, it's all the way to here.
Yeah, there's, it's hard to, it doesn't copy very well.
Okay.
That little thicker line is the division between phase one and phase six.
So there's eight lots that are actually phase one, correct?
Yeah, so this is the division between phase one and phase six, so the lot.
And it's the same thing down here for other phases.
So if you follow this, this is all phase one.
Okay.
Sorry, those lines are.
So we're only talking about eight lots in the second, it's not, we're in the minor partition now.
That's, yeah, we need to probably back up and talk about the modification request first.
Should confuse those people.
Yeah, I know. I get confused easy. I gotta ask questions.
Okay, does everyone have a starting point and new questions to ask?
Yep.
Or you need a minute? No one? Okay, Terry, I guess. Rolling Meadows Planned Unit Development Approval Modification PUD-23-24. Can we review the staff report, please?
Rolling Meadows PUD is a six-phase PUD whose master plan was approved in September of 2020. A major modification to a PUD is treated by the code as if it was a new PUD. So you go through all the approval criteria you did when the PUD was originally approved. The code sets the approval process for a PUD in three stages. The first stage is sort of a preliminary conference, and that occurred between staff and the applicant back in May. Stage two, and that's the stage that we're in tonight, is where you review the proposal, the application, and compare it against the approval criteria. Consistency with the comprehensive plan, can the PUD be developed in harmony with the surrounding area and internally? And then finally, is the timetable for the completion of the PUD within reason. Now, the timetable for the PUD hasn't changed. It's the same six phases as the master plan indicated. The part about the harmony with the surrounding area and internally, I think, was the main subject of the last hearing we had last month. And the applicant has come prepared with some detailed drawings and photographs that give you a better idea of how what they're proposed is actually been laid out and has been used in the past elsewhere in Oregon. If tonight you find that the criteria have been met, then we move on to stage three, which is tonight you would set a public hearing for your August meeting, and at that time, you would have a final order in front of you where you'd either approve, deny, or modify the application. Let me take this opportunity to summarize the issues that we're looking at. You have to realize that most of the PUD that was approved is not being challenged or modified. What's being changed has to do with the properties within the PUD that are zoned R2, and the changes are to reduce the minimum density from 3,500 square feet to 3,000 square feet for attached single-family dwellings, to change the lot width and frontage from 50 feet to 34 feet, and to enlarge the lot depth from, I think it's 70 to 90 feet. That's the main change. The other change has to do with the intersection of Farmington Drive and 4th Avenue, a realignment, so it's no longer perpendicular, it's curved. The issue was there was some concern that with Farmington Drive dead ending at the end of the PUD, it indicated that it was going to be extended to serve unincorporated area. And that wasn't the intent, so the roads have been slightly aligned so that they're curved. And there's no implication that Farmington is going to be extended further south. So those are the major changes. No other changes to the PUD. And again, my understanding is that the applicant has quite a bit of material to read tonight. Yes?
Where's Farmington on this map?
It stops up here. They're saying that it's not going to go through.
Was on this map, I think it's called Echo Mountain Drive.
There's a jog where Farmington stops, and then Echo is a little farther east.
Yeah, on the big map, the one that she copied, it's this is Echo Mountain.
I believe that Farmington comes in.
It's Echo Mountain, but
that's Echo.
That's Farmington.
Yes, that's the change.
Okay.
On this, it says Echo. It
says Echo Mountain Drive.
Yeah, it. With the
because I was riding through there on my bike looking at that, and it's off like this okay. Would be Farmington, mm-hmm. And that's Echo, so Farmington would have to go behind the houses if it was to keep going. It's off.
Yeah, they are off a little bit. They're closer than Echo, like their valley.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Does Google have it on it, right?
I don't know. I don't know how to use Google Maps. So, I don't have my grandkids with me, so I'm not going to go figure it out.
Okay. Were you finished?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. I didn't know if he had something else. I guess we'd like to see the information, if we could. Please.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Mark Cross. Hope you can hear me. I'm with Ryan Cross Group. I'm the civil engineer for the project. I just kind of wanted to talk. I know there's a lot of confusion. We have probably at least 20 layouts in our office of these maps of all the changes that have happened over the last. We actually started on this project in 2014, so almost 10 years of working on this project and making modifications as adjacent development happens, as well as changes that our client and the city is asking us to make. So just kind of going back a little bit to the start. You know, Rolling Meadows PUD, when we first started looking at it, there was acreage is dictated by the city on what we had to meet. We had to have at least 1 acre of high density. I can't remember the exact acres of medium density, and then the rest single family. And so what we're showing between the two maps is essentially equal. Just because of lot widths, we had to make some minor changes to the number of medium density and lots. So I believe there's actually 2 more medium density lots than there, well, it's hard to say because each medium density lot we're dividing in half again. So if you took the original PUD approval of medium density lots, which I believe was 54, and you doubled those, you'd have 108. Right now we're proposing on our map, which is on this map, we're excluding the lot divisions with the partitions because we didn't want to confuse that with our PUD as well. That's why those aren't shown as divided right now. But the partitions would divide those. I believe we'd end up with.
That's what they said, the common.
So 98 plus 8 more would be 106.
Mr. Chair, could we ask for silence in the audience while that man's speaking?
Yes, please.
So basically, the proposed change is twofold. One, the applicant is looking at taking duplexes and dividing them in half, and we're calling those single-family attached dwellings so that each half can be sold individually. When you have a typical duplex lot, you have one owner of the entire building, and those typically are rented out. So with the attached dwelling, you can then divide that duplex in half and sell each individual, we call it a residential unit, to individual owners. The benefits of that are, you know, usually with that smaller home, you're either going to get a starter home. People coming in, you know, young families, maybe with young kids, single people, or possibly retired people that are wanting to downsize. And so you're going to probably end up with less parking, less vehicular parking than you would if it was a rental. A lot of rentals, you tend to get maybe 3 or 4 different people combining, you know, together to get one rent and living in one half of that. You could end up with, you know, as many as 6 vehicles for each duplex. So that was one of the things we were thinking, is that there'd be a benefit to the community with some more affordable housing. I'm not going to call it affordable. These half of the duplexes are probably going to be in the 300,000 still. They're trying to build a fairly nice product to match the value of the homes that are going in around them. But I think the confusion last time, I wasn't here, but it seemed like the confusion was that we were asking you guys to approve a 34-foot wide lot and then we're going to jam a full duplex on that, and that's not the case. So there's really no difference between what was already approved and what we're asking you to approve, other than the dividing line that would go through the duplex, if that makes sense. So I keep hearing that there's, you know, double the amount of lots, but you have to understand that residential units will not change from what was originally approved, if that makes sense.
The difference between the townhome or the duplex wasn't the question anyone had here. It was the width of the lot and the lack of street parking. that seemed to be everybody's concern.
Correct.
and still is.
Okay.
So there's no guarantee that these will be owner occupied. You can't.
No, that's true.
I mean, you can't force someone to not rent out anything.
Correct.
I mean, that's reality.
I'm just saying the opportunity is
right. That's the opportunity. but that's not always how it is. So that was a big concern that I heard in the last meeting.
Correct. And I have some units to go over with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So again, the parking situation was what I was going to talk about next. So in our supplemental information that we submitted, and I apologize about the maps. Like I said, we've got so many of those. I know Terry has too many of those too. Oh yeah, and then before I forget, the road name change from Echo Mountain to Farmington was actually requested by your Public Works. I didn't want to change that because of the confusion it will cause on all of our plans. I've got 50-page engineering plans that I had to go back through and try to catch that name change every single time. It's very difficult, so, but that was actually requested by your city public groups. So in our exhibits, start with the ones that have cars shown on them, if you can look at those, and I'm not sure if I have the same order as you guys have. So I'm gonna start on one that says currently allowed duplex lot exhibit.
What page number is that?
I don't know.
20. 20? That's what I thought, yeah.
I don't have page numbers.
Just wanna make sure I was matching.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's 20, page 20, okay. So this is what's currently, what we currently, or originally proposed and what was originally approved. So we have a 68-foot wide lot. On the corner lot, we expand that width by 10 feet to allow for a 10-foot PUE that's on the side, the street side of the lot. And you can see that the duplex is shown on each one of those lots. We're gonna have a shared driveway and a single car garage with each side of the duplex. So if you look at our, I have all the dimensions on there, you know, 22-foot wide driveway would leave you almost 47 feet between the two driveways, which, you know, typically on parallel parking, you have 22 feet will allow a car to park there, even a full-size pickup. And we actually have 46 feet, so, you know, 23 feet for each parking stall. You'll have one parking place in each side of the driveway, and then you'll have one parking space in each garage, assuming they don't fill their garage up with junk, which happens. But that's what was originally proposed, and that's what was originally approved by the city. So then if you go, I think you might have to skip a page to one called Proposed Single Family Attached Dwelling Lot.
Page 22.
So this is what we're proposing, and if you can flip back and forth between what you originally approved and what we're proposing, you'll see there's absolutely no difference other than the lot numbers. We have to assign a lot number for each half of the duplex now because they can be individually sold. And the lot line that goes right down the middle, which would divide the duplex in half and divide the shared driveway. And you'll see that there's zero difference in parking. So the third one we did was just a generic exhibit. I just took the same corner in Rolling Meadows for this exhibit. But I wanted to show you what your code allows. So it's, we weren't proposing for these to be divided in half. Your code allows a minimum 50-foot wide lot. You can put a duplex on that 50-foot wide lot. And you'll see that you basically lose one on-street parking space for each unit. So basically, the Rolling Meadows PUD is adding one on-street parking space for each side with our proposal. But I kinda wanted to show you that. If you guys approve this tonight, but we have to keep in mind that Rolling Meadows is a PUD, so you're approving something that's specific to our PUD. You're not changing the city standards. I mean, you could argue that you're setting precedent for other PUDs to come in and do something similar to what we're doing, but you're not changing the city standard unless somebody comes in and requests that. So you're probably gonna get requests in the future to ask for a 25-foot wide minimum lot, because your standard is you can build a duplex on a 50-foot wide lot.
You refer to the confusion being between townhomes and duplexes, and we really weren't confused about that. Our question was, initially, we had been asked to approve 8 lots to be split on a packet that didn't show the rest of the map. It showed the end of phase one, and we thought, okay, that's not gonna be a problem.
Right.
So then the last meeting, it came back, and all of a sudden, it's 54 or 58 lots, and that's a tremendous amount of additional parking. Because the reality is, people have golf carts and rowboats and ski boats and jet skis and motorcycles in their garage, and their two cars are outside somewhere.
Right.
And they have lawnmowers, and they have all kinds of things. So that makes the streets get really busy in a hurry, and that's our concern.
So So I'm trying to explain to you again, there is absolutely zero difference in parking from what was originally approved.
Okay.
To what we're asking you to approve tonight.
Now, let me explain to you again. Where these lots border the other lots, all of these homes, in making the place a happy parking place for them to live, all of this extra parking from this side, they'll be parked on both sides of the street, I think, causing a problem for the other neighbors. I just don't.
I don't disagree with you there on the hypotheticals. What I'm telling you is what you've already approved in 2020.
What we approved was those 8 lots on phase one. We did not approve subdividing 54 lots and turning them into doubles.
You approved the entire Rolling Meadows PUD.
The whole thing.
And then you approved phase one to be developed.
And now you want to make the lots smaller.
No.
No.
They're not changing.
We want to divide the lots that were approved in half so that we can sell each side.
So if you look at the, if you look at the two plans, and I have.
Well, that's part of the problem with having so many different maps, that the numbers don't match.
Well, but they can't.
If you look at page 20, currently allowed.
I see that.
Right. Then you skip a page to the proposed, and you look at the, they're identical. There is no change.
But I mean, I don't care if it's a duplex or if two separate people own it. That doesn't change the parking problem.
The parking problem's the same as it always was. It could have been duplexes here in the beginning.
Aren't those lots currently?
No, they could be duplexes.
How wide are these lots currently?
68 feet or 70 feet.
Okay, and they want us to divide those into?
No, it stays the same width. They just put a line down the middle.
All right.
So you can sell this half and this half. The lot, the width doesn't change. So we could have put, they could have put, all those lots could have been duplexes in the beginning. It was approved that way in the beginning. So this could have been here. These all could have been duplexes. And then we'd have the parking problem existed at that point when it was approved. Now they want to split the duplexes and not call them duplexes, call them single family houses. Do exactly the same thing. Nothing changes dimension wise, and the same number of cars are there.
Okay,
so. And this problem still exists, but we generated the problem when we approved the original one with those as all duplexes.
Okay, so how come I had.
So I have a question to that. If that is the case, and there were 58 lots approved for duplexes, I don't remember even talking about that. I remember them coming back with a specific request to make 8 lots,
exactly.
The attached family.
Exactly, but when the original master plan, when the original PUD went through, those lots could all have duplexes on them.
You got me on that one because I don't recall that. If that is the case,
this is before you and I. This is way before us.
If that is the case, though,
see, this is when
why did they have to get special permission for the 8 lots?
Because they want to change it from duplexes to single-family dwellings. They want to draw a lot line down the middle so they can sell the left and the right-hand side.
I understand that part, but if
that's all they have
I guess
to do.
What I'm asking is, why wasn't the request for 58 lots instead of 8?
It is now.
So it wasn't presented to us that way.
I know, and I apologize about that, but we have to do the PUD modification first. So what we're hearing tonight is if you will allow us the potential to divide those lots in half. And if you say no tonight, then we'll pull the partitions because it's a mute point. We wouldn't be able to divide those in half.
So basically, I guess what I'm understanding you hearing, it's either 58 or nothing. You're not interested in the 8 anymore.
Not at all. We are very interested in the 8.
Oh.
So I'm just saying, if you were to deny the PUD modification, we couldn't move forward with the partitions. That wouldn't be allowed because you just denied the fact that we can divide them in half. Does that make sense?
Well, I want to hear what you guys say. You're a pretty smart fella.
No, I think the issue has to do with chronology. Initially, we received the request for the minor partitions. And the minor partitions are only in phase one. And that's why you saw 8 lots, because that was what was in front of you. When we told them that, they wanted to divide them up, and we told them, well, you're gonna have to make a major modification to the PUD. That put them in a different place. So the changes they wanna make, apply to all of the R2 properties, not just phase one.
All phases.
All phases. So that's, we leapt from eight lots to all of the lots. But you're only going to be seeing, if you approve the modification, a request for approval for minor partition to the eight lots right now. But as you understand, down the road, they can come in for the other R2 lots as the different phases progress. Does that sum it up?
Yeah, that's a good way to explain it.
So I'm, can I, Lanny Hickey with Brine Cross Group. And just for a little bit further, there's clarification on these lots. So each one of the R2 lots had the potential to have duplexes on them. And say, you know, that was an approved, that was approved permitted use for the R2 lots, was duplexes. So we came in and we did the code amendment, which allowed for single-family attached dwellings. And so what we're proposing today is, because the duplexes have a minimum of 50 feet, we're actually proposing 34 feet per lot, which is 68 feet, which is more footage on the frontage than the 50 feet of the duplexes that's currently approved. So we're actually making it better, and we're providing more opportunity for parking, but we're not, there's no change to what's already been approved, which is the duplexes. We're actually making it better with the 34 feet per unit instead of 25 feet per unit. Does that make sense?
To explain my confusion, I don't know if everybody feels the same way, is last time you were here, you made it sound like it was going to be 34 feet for the entire building.
And that's what I think that's where I was asking, yeah.
Well, you lost a lot of us on that one.
I think that that's what happened last time. And that's why I got to have some help here, because I was confused that you guys were thinking that I was proposing that there would be two units on 34
yes,
feet.
That's how we understood it.
Instead of having one unit on 30, and I apologize, because I think had I been more explicit in my explanation that there would be one unit on 34 feet and another unit on 34 feet, making the 68 feet, as opposed to, you know, a duplex that's on 25 feet. And that's why I'm thinking, oh my gosh. That's why at the end I said, can I have a continuance? Because I need to go back and regroup. And that's when, you know, it was suggested that I put some photos together, get some drawings, and come back with a better visual as to what was being proposed. And I do apologize that I think that that's where I left you guys, was that we were going to cram those on one lot.
So what do you suppose the timeframe would be between phase one and the other phases, between the time it's finished and forward?
So phase one is actually recorded already.
Okay.
So those eight lots are approved for duplexes.
Right, but there was, and we did that.
Yeah.
And that's easy, and that was,
well,
that's something we can fix.
So they're already approved for duplexes. They're actually constructing them as we speak.
Right.
And if the partitions are denied, they would just keep those as rentals, as we had originally planned, and rent them out. What we're asking for on the partitions is to be able to divide those in half and then sell each side.
Right. So my question is, if there's time between that, can we approve the first eight to go to townhomes and hold the rest of them until we see what it actually looks like in real life?
So wouldn't it just be the same building, just on paper, just say one versus the other? It's going to be the same construction whatsoever.
Doesn't change it at all.
It's already approved to do what we're trying to do. We're gaining some additional width if they go through with all of this.
Right.
To hold off or wait.
Just adding an extra.
I mean, they're already going to build this building. The difference is going to be, they're going to draw an imaginary line through it.
Yeah, I don't care if one person owns it or 14. Makes no difference.
Mr. Chair.
Sir.
I would like to make a comment about something you touched on. When I went out there, after our meeting, I went out there and I looked around, and I actually did a little measuring, and 34 feet would have been out of the question. But the way it is drawn now, mathematically, it makes perfect sense to me. But I'm still on the same page as Jeff is about the parking, because I live in the reserve, and I see the way people park things on the street now. They got, They got trailers, boats, everything parked on the street. We have an HOA that kind of regulates it, but in an area that's not set up with an HOA yet, they're going to be abusing that. And there's going to be these people that live on Breckenridge that are going to have houses, or the people on 8th Avenue that are going to have houses. They're going to have issues with parking. And my worry is fire trucks coming through there and just, you know, having vehicles pretty much everywhere. And it just looks very crowded, because also preparing for this meeting, I went around the part of Lennar that's built and part of my neighborhood, and I was kind of counting vehicles per home. And most of the phase one reserve has 3-car garages, and you can get them off. But with a duplex or attached house, I understand all that, and I'm good with that part. The one, you have one car, and it's just like Jeff said, people don't park their cars in a 1-car garage. They park it out in the street. And I understand that you think maybe only 2 people is going to live in the house, but chances are they're going to have kids, they're going to have teenagers, and with that come vehicle.
Yeah, and I'm just on experience on projects we've been involved in, I see more vehicles in rental communities than I do ownership.
You're 100% right.
So that's what we're here for tonight, is trying to create an ownership community, not a rental community.
Right.
I'm done. I'm good. I just,
and then
I echoed.
You also have control over the parking, because with the recommendation of the attached single family dwellings that have shared driveways, that allows for the 2 parking spaces between the shared driveways. And with the duplexes, you don't have that control over those driveways. And each duplex right now, the way that your code is, each duplex can have its own driveway, which actually creates less parking and less availability for parking. So with your condition of having a shared driveway, you have more control over allowing the availability of additional parking, which is on the street. So it's kind of a win-win.
Right. You, I mean, your map cleared it up, because last time you explained it to us as a 34-foot lot with 2 driveways, which gave us about 3 parking places in 2 miles.
Yeah,
and
that's why
that was a problem.
I actually drove and got those pictures and went around so that I would be clear.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to touch on next. So in your packet, we did find a community. This is located in Medford, Oregon.
Doesn't rain in Medford. I hope you're pointing the roofs here in the right direction.
Say, please don't look at the design of the duplexes. That's not what's, it's very more traditional to design if you go out and look at them. But this is a good representation of, you know, each duplex has a single garage, a shared driveway. And basically the dimensions were very close to what we're proposing. So, and of course, we got there on a good day, but nobody was parked on the
street. Right, got the only car in the neighborhood.
That one car was hers.
That was fine. They're just getting, actually relatively new. They're getting constructed
now. They
look
new.
But like I said, you're having the opportunity now to have control to provide more space on the street with the shared driveway condition, which you don't have with the duplex currently. So, and more than likely, those R2s are going to be duplexes.
Well, I mean, that's what was originally laid out. And so when we first, back in 2014, started on this development, the developer, which was Hayden Holmes, I don't know who remembers that, they wanted to do all single family. And it was difficult because the intent, if you read the intent of the PUD, they wanted medium density, they wanted high density and everything single family, and they wanted it mixed. And so what we actually did is proposed even, we just proposed all single-family lots, because you can still build a single-family home in R2, but we made the lot smaller so that it was locked into that. The fear of that was if Hayden would have sold out and had a 50-foot wide lot, you can put a duplex in there. It doesn't come before you guys. It's reviewed administratively, and it's a permitted use. So, again, that's why when the current owner of this talked about wanting to do duplexes, we widened those lots to allow duplexes. Because of the same issues you're thinking.
Right. Well, a lot of neighborhoods in town, all of the corner lots are duplex or townhomes, and the rest of them are not.
Right.
And that seems to relieve a lot of parking issues.
Yeah.
So, I kind of like that better than cramming them all in one corner.
Yeah.
I wonder what happens up here in this area when the high density is built up there.
So the high density will be required to have its own parking lot.
Right.
So you'll see that.
What happens in this hammerhead? That might be a crowded little cul-de-sac up there on the right.
So there's going to be a parking lot within that?
Within the red.
Within the red.
Within the red.
In that parking with the red, and I'm looking down the road, I know you probably haven't, would you allow the people that, or would the city allow people that lived in the orange be allowed to go park their boats and stuff in that parking lot in the red?
Probably not that room.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Not that big, look at it.
Yeah, it looks pretty small.
Not an issue at this time.
Mr. Sumner?
My question still, Terry, we could still put, the requirement for a duplex is 25 or 50?
It's a 50-foot lot for.
Okay, in other words, if you split it in half, it's 25, but what they're proposing is added in another, what, 9 feet?
Eighteen feet, well, yeah, nine each side.
Nine feet for each side, and all we're doing is, allowing them to have dual ownership on the same lot.
Right.
It's not what we thought last time we.
No.
Got the information and we digested it that way.
We thought it was 34 feet.
Right.
For all of it.
That makes sense to us all.
And then having maps that don't match doesn't help, and the phase numbers are different map to map also.
Well, they have to be, so from what was originally approved to what we're approving tonight, we have to change the phase numbers to try to follow what we're proposing now. So there is a change in phases, and then that curve down on the, I guess that's the very southwest corner. That's a change as well that we're asking for approval tonight. So we are reviewing the entire PUD, a change to the entire PUD first, and then the partitions were second. And then, like Gary said, maybe a month or 2 months from now, you'd see a request for approval for phase 5 and 6, which would be the remainder of the meeting.
All right, any other questions?
I have one, Mr. Chair, and I don't know who to address this question to. I'm from a small town that's nowhere near here. So when I look at condition of approval number 6, and it says record the covenants that address the maintenance of shared facilities such as driveways, roofs, and fences. I know that this has happened other places, but I have one neighbor that refuses to talk to us, even though we put out a small fire on his house, and I have another neighbor that won't stop talking to us. I couldn't imagine living next to somebody who wouldn't talk to me, and I have to figure out how to get our roofs changed. What is the general procedure for, or how do you address those issues of shared facilities with a house that might not even be bought? Somebody else gets hit by something. Is that one person, if the other lot isn't bought, responsible for the whole house or the whole duplex, excuse me? If another person does, they don't have the financial capabilities to keep it up, how does that work? How is that addressed?
So, you know, this is a new concept, fairly new. Condominiums have been around for a long time, and condominium, you actually just own the space inside of a dwelling. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if this was the home, you would own from sheetrock to, and so insurance companies, actually, it's almost impossible to insure those now, and that's why nobody's proposing them, or hardly anybody's proposing them, and that was because nobody's really in charge of the owner, or an HOA is in charge of the walls and everything outside the drywall, and then you know, you have HOA problems, and with these types of homes, you just are dealing with two people. The covenants guide how disputes would be resolved. I've seen, or not seen, but heard of half of roofs getting replaced. If you know you got a leaky roof and you want to replace your half, you're totally allowed to do that. You can't force the other neighbor to that you know, those recorded covenants allow you to possibly go to small claims court or something like that to try to settle that dispute. But you're right, there are issues with that, but less issues than, say, with the condominium.
Gary, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I would support that. You're totally reliant on, but let's say you put in a structure that's got two units, two attached single family residences, and one of them sold. I assume the other one would be still owned by the developer or the owner, and that person would be able to enforce the covenants. Once you have two owners in there, it's them and the court system.
And that's what concerns me, because you talk about these are for the idea, and there's no right or wrong thing here, but the idea is if these are young families or elderly people that get this, those are two vulnerable types of people, because when I was young enough to buy a home, I was an idiot. I didn't know what to do with my home, and if my dad didn't come in and fix things for me, I probably would have been screwed. And the same thing with my grandfolks. Like, they just do whatever the salesman tells them to do, and I'm concerned that if we do this, I don't want it to be rentals either, because landlords can be jerks, but I think it's just a hard situation to find a remedy to. Yeah, and then I guess one more, I'm sorry. I get the point where you say we can split, like, hey, we fix our roof, we don't fix yours. But then what if the guy fixing the roof, oh, he rips a tile over on this guy's side? You know, it seems like so many problems that could be fixed by just single homes. And I get that we don't have that here, but.
Yeah, probably not. I'm not familiar with the building finance. Atlanta's looked at them a little bit more than me, but. She said she thought she saw something on the roof.
Yeah, that there was a division. You're going to have a different wall separating the two units, and I thought that it was along the roof line too. So,
no, that makes sense. Yeah,
that
seems a smart way to do it for sure.
Right. So if something should go wrong with my roof, or hey, I want a different color, or you know, whatever the case may be, then I will just go up and replace my roof, and then I'm not responsible, and it's not going to interfere with the neighboring roof.
Wouldn't the building codes be different for attached housing
mm-hmm.
than a duplex?
They're going to be.
So their building is in anticipation of that. One of the differences is the width of the firewall
mm-hmm.
On the common wall.
Does Junction City's code provide for that?
Yeah, even the new duplex and triplexes have two separate. You have a wall with sheetrock, sheetrock, another wall, and sheetrock. So you have two firewalls, and everything's completely separate from one to the other.
So that does solve a lot of problems.
So that then your half is your half, and their half is their half. The only problem you would really have is where the peak of the roof meets in the center. You know.
And then there's probably a way to build around that.
I mean, even then, if you replaced your half and their half leaked, if you're on the hook for one row of shingles and a ridge cap, that's not a huge amount.
Does Junction City have this type of building anywhere in the city yet?
Well, there are on Pine Court across the street from the high school. All of those, they look like fourplexes.
Uh-huh.
They are all individually owned.
I didn't know that. I'd like to ride by and take a look at
that.
So
there's
thank you for
three or four units together.
Yeah.
So we do have that now. And the state uniform building code requires 2-hour firewalls for duplexes, any units. So that's going to go from peak to ground.
I assume that was there, but I didn't know.
I'm sure there's very smart people.
I mean, the building department takes care of that, and they would have to have some kind of internal maintenance agreement with their sales when they bought it. That's not really our concern.
It's what's done on paper and what's done with your neighbor are not always the same thing.
That's why I live out in the country.
Well, you're right. I mean, that happens in single family homes, just like you're saying.
Sure.
You know, fence, lights, sharing. People don't talk to you. You're going to have that no matter what.
All right. I think you've clarified our questions at this time, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Does any other planning members have any other questions regarding to PUD 2324?
Clear as mud.
Sir?
Clear as mud.
I don't want to put this on record because I don't know if I'm allowed to bring this up right now. So
we'll take a chance.
Okay. Junction City just issued its second water warning today. I got the email today to cut back our water. 2 weeks ago, we had the first one. And I'm finding it very, very hard to believe we can keep building all these subdivisions when we don't have enough water for the citizens that are already living in the city.
I understand that, but the developer is already on the hook for another well and a bunch of stuff, which is supposed to be happening soon.
I'd like to see the well put in before we build.
Well, the city council is going to be discussing the water at their next meeting, and again in August. Right now, there's so that the there are a couple of older wells that aren't pumping as much as they used to, so that's being worked on. Is Gary here? Okay, Gary, correct me if I'm saying this incorrectly, please. But we also have people using more water than normally happens during this time of year.
Sure, more houses.
That's.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. The more houses isn't necessarily the case. The overuse of water is the case. When a town our site should be using no more than 750,000 gallons a day, and we're using 1.4 million, that means we're overusing water.
So what? Understanding that fact you just said, how does Junction City prepare for all these new developments when we're already using double what you say for the citizens that are already living here and already paying their water bill? It seems very frustrating to see all these, and I hear a lot of it from my neighbors, that, you know, why are we building all this when we don't have enough water just to water our garden? And it's very frustrating to people.
Well, I've got two facts to that. If you water correctly, you don't need water three or four times a day, every day. Second of all, we're working on developing two wells right now, currently. And, you know, third, the other way to curtail water without curtailing water is to go to a tiered rate structure, so the more water you use, the more money you pay.
So the argument that people are bringing back to me on that is they were already living here using the same amount of water they think they were using before, and now they see all this watering going on out with the development where they're watering what looks like dirt. I know it's not, but, and they're saying, how can the city tell us to cut back when they're building all this? How are we gonna, because we believe that, and I'm on the side of my neighbors, that we already have been living here for a long time, many, many decades, and using, you know, sometimes when the grandkids come, we use a little bit more, and in summer, you use more in winter. That's all there is to it. But when we're adding all these houses, we're thinking, if we can't use our water now, how bad is it going to be once the houses are built? And I did take to heart a lot of things that Brandon said at the last meeting. You know, the last thing in the world you want to do is have call the fire department for a fire and have them say, well, get your marshmallows. You know, you don't want to hear that. You want to hear that they can come put your house out.
Sure, which is the exact reason I went into water curtailment. So we have enough fire protection and consumption. Watering your grass is not a necessity, believe it or not. It will die and grow back in the winter.
So basically, what we're, whoops. I'm not trying to argue with Gary, but what I'm getting at is that people buy these houses, we invest in our lawns, and it takes water to keep the lawns green, the bushes the way they're supposed to be, and then we're told we can't water because they got to build more lots, and that kind of.
No, that's not the case. They haven't even built those lots yet. There's nothing going on there.
I think that's the dig.
So what's happening is, the loss of production in the wells that we currently had hurts us, and then everybody excessively using the amount of water they're using hurts us. So when you're going to use double the amount of water you should be using during the summer, that kills any water permit.
Well, I can only speak for me, but I'm not using double the water. I know I'm not. My bill is staying pretty low. So I'm not using more than normal.
Lady in the audience, you have a question? Something to add? Please state your name for the public record.
Lisa Blaine. I live at 700 West 17th.
Thank you.
Avenue. And I'm probably one of those people he's talking about because we have a sprinkler system. However, the weather is different now in the summers. And it's drier and it's hotter. And we are using more water just simply because of that change. You multiply that out by all the other people that water their lawns. And I want to also say, I disagree with you, Gary, that it's not okay to not keep our lawns up, because part of what I purchased in that house was the landscape. And if I'm going to sell my house, it's going to reduce my property value by an enormous amount of money if I do not maintain my landscape. So, yes, on a very primal level, it's not required. But we all live in a world now that takes into consideration money and finances and what your investments are and all that. So I disagree with
you. Thank you. I appreciate your point of view. Okay, now.
I'm not saying that people shouldn't have a green lawn. Don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is, from the time we went on to our first stage, as a public works director, I shut all my irrigation off. Because I'm going to try and do what I have to do to make sure that our citizens have the water they need. I didn't get everybody to comply and help us out with that. That's why we're in stage two.
My lawn's brown, if it makes you happy. Sir, just trying to get along.
A lot of people just don't want to pay for it.
Okay. Ma'am, please state your name for the record.
Sandy Thomas. And Gary's always been a straight shooter. But I think that should be up to our city administrator to be answering that question. You know, I mean, he's the public works person, but I think we are in the...
I appreciate your point of view. He has his finger on the pulse, and that's where they go for their information. This really has nothing to do with the water consumption. That's not part of this body. And I do know that there is a well being built, and that's been tacked on to the developer, and it's an extremely exorbitant amount of money. And it will probably produce more water than that development will use, and the city will benefit from that well. So.
Yeah, just answer part of my question.
Okay, last chance. Moving forward.
So my question from, we were watching this from out of town family reunion last time, so we didn't get a chance to participate when all the stuff was being said.
We like to do things under the cover of darkness when nobody's looking.
So, my brain, the old brain, just lost its finger. What was your comment you just said?
Mine?
Yeah.
The developer's on the hook for a new city well.
Okay, on that, how is that determined, the amount that they put in there? First of all, I want to compliment you guys. You are awesome. I've just been here as an educational process. You're asking good questions. You're just awesome.
Somehow, numbers that we don't see, they generate the size, the depth, and the well that they're going to build, and that's beyond us. We're not the engineers.
No, but I mean, when you decided how much to have them pay on that.
It's on them completely.
Pardon?
It's
Would you like me to answer that, Jeff?
There you go. Could you please?
Yeah.
Thanks.
So what we do is we look at the number of blocks that are there, and then we have a population index that we use, and then we have a gallons per minute per person that we use, and we make them pay their fair share. So if the well's $1.5 million to build and they're using 50% of that, they're on the hook for $750,000.
But why is it only 50? Oh, population. You just said that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I can't charge them for the whole well because they're not using the whole well.
My only point I wanted to make, and like I said, besides complimenting you and I'm just getting an education here, is that they're obviously the benefit to them. Obvious is a financial one. If they can sell two, are they the ones that benefit from the sale of these properties?
Well, the developers, certainly.
Yeah, but we're not here to decide.
We're not here to tell them how much money they can make.
At all.
Right, but I just want to say that.
And we're off subject. I'd like to get back to the subject, if you would, Mr. Chair.
Let's let her finish her last question and we'll move forward.
Okay. And so you did answer most of my question is how is that determined? You know, I just wanted to comment that you guys are doing an excellent job, but I just want to make sure that...
We tried to do a good job.
But, there's so much frustration in the community, and a lot of it is just not understanding how this process works, how complicated it is.
Here every month, and no one comes down. So if no one comes down, here we are. Then it's just us trying to do...
Yeah, we live in a small community.
Okay, and we're volunteers, and we're all from this community, and we have to live here. So we're trying to make the neighborhood nice for our neighbors. So if I appear grumpy tonight, I'm generally not. The maps didn't match, and it didn't set well with me at all. And I'm absolutely 100% a pro-build guy. So, you know, I put it right out there for everybody.
Everybody has to be because of the economy
don't have to
and
be.
The need.
You know, there are a lot of people are not. But I think we need to move along. I don't think I can, we...
Okay, so I can't bring any financial stuff up?
There's, we have no, that makes no bearing on our decision at all. We have the standard state appointed criteria that we study.
Oh, I see, okay.
And this has to meet the criteria, the wetlands, the parking, the safety, the fire code, all of the city policies.
I think you made a great point about the problem with having the double ownership.
And I think the HOA and the sales agreement will have to have something. I'm sure that's not their first townhome, and they'll have something to protect both parties, some way.
Commissioner Chair?
Sir?
Her best outlet for that would be a council meeting.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Terry can tell you when that is and what time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Capping. Okay, if any other planning commissioners have a question or a comment, or if not, I would entertain a motion to set a public hearing.
I'll make that motion. I move to schedule a public hearing for Rolling Meadows Plan Unit Development Major Modification Request Application, file number PUD 2324, on August 16th, 2023.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Mr. Hukil, are you voting?
I'm not voting.
Okay, thank you. Just want that on the record. All right, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope I answered some of your questions. I tried. Okay. Preliminary minor partitions, Rolling Meadows, Phase 1, files number MP-23-10 through MP-23-17. Mr. Darnell, is that you again?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
I'm going to try to lump all of these together if the Planning Commission doesn't mind. Basically, the only difference between these are the individual lot sizes. They're all being divided down the center. Some of them have 34-foot widths on each of the two properties created. Some are larger, 40 feet. Some of them differ in terms of the minimum square feet that they represent. Most of them have the same lot length, which is over the 90 feet that are proposed. I will say one thing, though. Again, you can't absolutely approve these minor partitions until the major modification is approved. The reason we got to the major modification is when I looked at all these minor partitions, I said, whoa, you know, we can't do that. So if you were to approve these partitions tonight, you would have to do them conditionally. That is to say, conditioned on your approval after the public hearing in August of the PUD modification that you just discussed.
Okay, well, at one time we approved these first eight, and there was a clerical error that sent it back for a do-over.
Excuse me?
A code amendment issue.
Yeah, that was in the code amendment, that's what you're referring to.
Okay.
And it wasn't just those eight, the code amendment actually would...
Allowed the whole thing, right, but that, I thought we had that resolved.
Citywide, any duplex lot in the city.
So, the minor partitions, each of them vary slightly in terms of the size of the lots created. But they're all reviewed by the same criteria. First thing you look at is consistency with the zoning district. They're all zoned R2, and with the major modification to the PUD, they will be consistent with that if the modification is approved. The next thing you look at, the criteria have to do with the general subdivision provisions. That has to do with the everything from the diagram being sufficient size, scope, various things like dimensions shown, north arrow shown, things that you look at in terms of the map that's in front of you. And that has all the information that is required. And we found that all that information is present on all the eight applications. Then finally, the standards that are in the Planning Commission review, and we're looking at utilities, street widths, adequacy of services, frontage size, again, with the modification approved of the PUD, it's going to meet all of the standards subject to your review. We have 6 conditions of approval. I think you alluded to some of them. Final plat has to show all the easements. That's standard. What isn't standard is that condition number 2. I felt that a good staff recommendation is that because of the narrow width of the lots, or potentially narrow width, the parcels have to have a shared driveway, and we discussed that in the discussion under the major modification. No certificate of occupancy until all of the approved conditions of approval have been met. Building lots have to be filed in accordance with accepted engineering practice, meeting structural, special, and fire codes. Finished floor elevations has to be established for all buildings. All access to public utilities brought up to finished grade. Preliminary plan approval, according to the code, is valid for 2 years. That can be extended for an additional 2 years if the applicant hasn't been able to complete the process for final plat approval. And the applicant must submit as-built plans for phase 1. I believe that's been done, is that correct?
Yes.
But at the time the staff report was written, that wasn't the case. So condition number 8 had been met. And final plat approval is subject to the requirements of 1605040F of the Junction City Municipal Code, which is required for all minor partitions. Yes.
So if we approve this, this is just a pending approval.
Right, and it would be subject to approval of the major modification to the PUD.
Right, which is going to be a public hearing on the August the 16th. The hearing is going to be August the 16th for that.
Okay.
Okay. So what do we accomplish by doing this tonight, and come August, I'm just hypothetically, come August, they don't approve it, then this falls apart.
It, that's true, it does.
But if it's approved tonight, and then they get approval on the August 16th, they don't have to come back again, right?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And it's on tonight's agenda for one reason, because we anticipate the August meeting is going to be pretty top heavy. This is one less item for you to consider. Then.
Can we make a single motion for
you
all of them?
You might want to listen to the testimony from the applicant.
Well, I plan on that, but I mean, if we're doing it as a group like this, can we do it as a single motion?
Yeah, as long as you reference each of the applications.
Yeah, I mean, the same things we're discussing, it was a single item.
Yeah, right. Okay. But your action will be MP 23-10 through MP 23-17.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Broken ribs. If I'm grimacing, it's not because I'm not liking this. It's just I am in pain. So.
How'd you break your ribs?
Mountain bike accident.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, you got broken ribs.
I did it going uphill though.
Yeah.
It's like really hard to do that.
That would be.
Get some dirt bikes; they're safer.
Well, that's what I used to ride, and my wife made me get a mountain bike because it's supposedly safer. But I've hurt myself way worse on the mountain bike than I. We don't have a lot to say on the partitions, other than just to say, I mean, one of the reasons for the code modification that came before you, we kind of thought we were taking care of everything in that one swoop. And what we didn't realize is there's, you know, until Gary pointed it out, there's so many parts of the code that should have been, more parts of the code that should have been addressed in that code amendment to allow what we wanted to do, you know. So when we got city's approval that duplexes can be divided in half, we thought, great, we're off and running. And then we come to lot widths and lot sizes and stuff like that that really should have been addressed in that code amendment. And that's kind of an oversight on our part. So that's one of the reasons we're here.
Well, except the code amendment would have applied citywide.
Citywide, correct.
And what we're doing now is only applying to the PUD.
Correct. So, any questions on that particular?
Pretty well covered it.
I didn't have any problem with that part. It was the confusing maps and things that gave.
I think once we figured out the math on the lot size and all that, that made things a lot easier, right, for me anyway.
Well, and just keep in mind that the old map and the new map are never going to match lot number.
Right, but when you're working on one and you sit and you think about each lot number and you mark it out, and then you turn the page and the map isn't the same at all, then it's frustrating because I didn't notice that until I was ready to come out.
Right.
I gave it one more quick read over and I thought, wait a minute, this doesn't make with that.
Right.
So it's nicer to have what you're working on in front of you instead of last week's lunch.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's not on you. It's just a simple oversight somewhere. Things happen.
Yep.
But it makes it more difficult for us. I would entertain a motion unless someone has another question or comment.
I'd make the motion.
Okay.
I think
it's going to have to be modified from what's provided there because the what is provided doesn't include the subject to approval of the.
Do we have to list the original Rolling Meadows mod number in this motion?
I don't know. Do we have the file number?
The file number?
Referencing
The original?
Yeah, the one that's coming up for hearing. Do we have?
Yeah.
We should reference.
Well, I think you want to, as your condition of approval, it's based on the approval of PUD 23-24.
Oh, okay, so yes.
Okay, so based on the approval of Rolling Meadows PUD modification. 23-24. Okay, so I would make a motion to conditionally approve with findings as stated in the final order and subject to approval of the Rolling Meadows PUD modification 23-24. The applications on files number 20 MP23-10 through MP23-17.
And reference the finding or the conditions of approval? Or is that part of the?
Yeah, motion to conditionally approve with findings as stated.
Yeah.
Is that clear?
That's clear.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Any opposed? Seeing none. Okay, so we'll move that to City Council. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. One more trip, huh?
Many more trips. Okay, shall we look at the agenda forecaster?
Thank you.
Go ahead and enjoy that cool weather we got.
I'll make sure not to go home and water my lawn.
Very loud dark.
So the on page 389 of your packet is the pending business. So pending business, Gary had mentioned that. First of all, good evening, everyone. Gary had mentioned that next month's agenda is pretty packed, and page 389 kind of demonstrates that. So we've got the reserve phase 3 through 5 is going to come back to you, that preliminary subdivision. And just a reminder that subdivisions are a two-part process, so preliminary approval means that they get approval to do road work, do all the infrastructure. They have to get final approval from the planning commission in order to actually sell lots, and that can take quite a bit of time between those two stages. But that is on the agenda for next month, as well as the public hearing for the planned unit development for Rolling Meadows that you said had okayed the for the public hearing for next month. The third item down is a preliminary subdivision for Rolling Meadows phases 5 and 6. There's a small possibility you'd see that next month. It may actually be in September. There's two conditional use applications. Both of those require public hearings, and those are both things that are anticipated to be on the agenda for next month. And in September, we are, staff is working on preparing, working with the city's attorney to do an annual training with the Planning Commission, government ethics, planning, land use law, kind of thing, anything new, refresher for those who've been on the commission for a while and maybe with some new information. And an opportunity to ask some questions specific about land use to the city attorney. The next page on 3-9 year future business items, and these have been here for a while, still working on the replat for the block across the street to get all of those buildings on their own lots. And then working with the staff has been communicating with the city attorney about getting information on what's going to be required once the city hits a population of 10,000, what kind of code amendments are going to have to happen as far as housing.
Good.
That's not too far off.
No.
You were telling us when you thought the outlook was for 10,000. Has it moved up close?
No. This month is when we'll hear. So Portland State University is who we get our population from, and they do our estimates. So, and those letters come out in July. They ask for information. They do a survey in the springtime, and then usually it's in July that we hear back, and they give us our new population estimate. Right now, our population, according to them, is 7,006. So I would anticipate it's probably gone up somewhat from that, but we're okay to. The 10,000 isn't imminent. It's still a little ways off. We have time to learn and plan for that. But that's it for the agenda forecast. Unless there's questions. Wednesday, last month, when I gave the date for the public hearing for the reserve, I said August 16th. I looked at the calendar wrong. August 16th is a Wednesday. So we are having Planning Commission on Wednesday. I sent out an email and got responses from commissioners saying that most everybody could make it for that.
So it moves to Wednesday one time next
month. Just at one time only. Sorry for the confusion. Since it was announced in a public meeting and it was announced for the public hearing, it was better.
Otherwise, we'd have had to move it and renotice it.
Yeah. So.
All right. Thank you very much, Terry. Any commissioner comments?
Once again, I appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you make it a bit easier.
I guess that's it.
We're not planning on retiring.
I guess we'd like to get the well drilled sooner.
Yeah. I guess we would. That's the city council's problem, not ours. I guess I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I would like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Hupel voted there. Any opposed? None. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Capping.
I'm opposed.
All right. You're sitting in front of your fridge.
Let the ice melt from your fridge. refrigerator is pretty well gone.
That's what you do.
We're making comments about the guy in the back.
We don't.